Hi, I'm Sian, one of the news editors at Manx Radio. Now, you may have noticed in the recent days the cost of diesel, petrol and home heating oil going up on the island. As the ongoing conflict in the Middle East continues, Chief Minister Alfred Cannon joined myself and Ben on Manx Radio Breakfast to look at the impact here and what support could be on offer.
We knew that there was going to be significant increases. We've been protected on the island just simply because of the schedule of our deliveries and the way that our deliveries have been coming in as compared to the United Kingdom. Those prices have been pretty much forecast in terms of the prices that UK customers have been paying, and you know that type of rise was always going to be expected here on the island.
Now, we did see some empty pumps at the weekend. We saw queues forming once the forecourts had been refilled. In terms of that, the way people have gone about their shopping, you've made the point that supplies are stable. What are your thoughts on that?
So look, we as a government, we are taking this situation incredibly serious. We've, as I've already widely communicated, we've set up a national strategy board just purely focused on the conflict in Iran and the impact that it is having. There's two clear streams of focus with that. First of all, the supply side, and secondly, the economic side. And when you look at the supply side, we continue to receive reassurances from the United Kingdom that supply chain remains healthy into the immediate future. We've been restocked as we expected on the island. We expect that the next restocking to take place in a few weeks' time, as would normally happen. Nevertheless, like everybody else, you will be reading on your newspapers and on your websites of industry experts, oil executives, investment banks, warning Europe, warning the UK that there could be further impacts later on in terms of late spring, early summer, in terms of supply side. So, you know, as a government, we are looking at our contingency plans. We are looking at what the eventualities might mean for the island if there were to be limitations in certain areas. So we are taking it seriously, but there are no immediate threats to our supply, and the UK continues to give us very strong reassurances in that respect. And then secondly, obviously, there is the economic impact. You know, we have seen now this week the rise in fuel costs and heating oil costs, although I still yet to understand the exact price at which heating oil is being delivered. And there are some complexities in terms of how the oil companies actually define their prices. In effect, we just really don't know until the very last minute what type of price we're likely to see at the pumps, literally on the day or even a day or so before, you know, when a ship arrives in the harbour in the port, what that price point is actually going to look like. But look, we are taking all the information that we can gather in terms of the impact that we're seeing across the economy, and we will use that to focus our decision making.
Now, one of your colleagues in the House of Keys, Michelle Hayward, she's posted on social media following the sitting yesterday. She talks about the Chief Minister offered assurances that there's no shortage of supply. This is reflecting on the statement you made last week, and said that was intended to calm the situation. But when garages run out of diesel just days later, those assurances lost credibility. She goes on to say government needs to acknowledge that the messaging last week was wrong and didn't align with how people behave. Do you agree, concede that there was perhaps some error with the messaging?
Well, it's typical, wasn't it? That, you know, when I said there were no supply chain problems, that a weather event caused the boat, you know, a couple of days delay in terms of its docking. Look, you know, we've had weather events here on the island before. We've seen one or two occasions, I'm sure from my memory, where we've had supply shortages in fuel actually at the pumps. But the predominant and the serious message is, you know, that we are communicating with the United Kingdom government, that we are receiving the reassurances about our supply, that we are have a level of expectation that that supply chain is secure. We're talking to the oil companies here, the fuel companies here on the Isle of Man about their forward planning and purchasing, and that but that also we take very seriously some of the other reports that are coming through. And as a government, you know, you would expect us to be planning for future eventualities, even if they don't occur, you know, and that's what we are doing.
You were asked yesterday in the House of Keys about support going forward, and I think you talked about the need to essentially have some more data gathering to know a little bit more about who is going to be affected. What does that process look like? What is it you're looking at to figure out where that support will go?
Well, so there's no guarantee there will be necessarily any support. I think yesterday I delivered seven principles that will guide our decision making. And in that, they said that any support that we do deliver will be targeted, will be focused. But, you know, this is still very early days. I don't think this is an in the moment crisis. In other words, the impacts of this could be felt many months, if not even years, into the future. And we just don't necessarily know and understand which way some of these impacts are going to go in terms of the pricing that kind of be felt, or indeed where we may see some supply impacts. And I'm not just talking about fuel here. I'm talking about things like steel, for example. I'm talking about fertilizer. I'm talking about other goods that we may as an island receive. And the government may need to cope and deal with those on a targeted basis, and they may have different impacts across our economy in many different ways. So, you know, it's a very uncertain picture that we're dealing with. We are not rushing in to hand out checks at this precise point. You know, I think there is a period we're just going to have to tough it out for a few weeks, if that is the right word. I have committed, and the government's committed, that the Treasury Minister will make a further statement in April. That is the right thing to do. I think the points that people are making about, you know, particularly in this case, I think vulnerable people on heating oil are appropriate points. They're relevant points. We will be writing out to third sector charities and organisations this week in terms of informing them about how they can best advise people who they may perceive to be in difficulties, also how they can feed that information back to government as well, and then we will make appropriate decisions. But, you know, certainly, you know, the approach at the moment is that we should not be rushed into making early decisions. As soon as we start writing checks, first of all, I think the pressure then grows across the economy for the government to step in, and millions of pounds can be paid out, and we just won't be in a proper position and a prepared position if there are significant impacts next autumn and next winter. That's the first point. And the second point, and we must remember, and it's ultimately not the government's money, this is taxpayers' money. And people will rightly ask, if we give support to one element of society, why they should also not get support. And it's a difficult and complex picture. This is not COVID. On the plus side, you know, electricity prices are very well protected moving forward in the next 12 months. At the moment, domestic gas customers are protected. There is no fundamental economic impact there. We will continue to monitor the situation, but it is not a unilateral problem, and we have taken action, for example, with the rise in personal allowances, which will help protect 4,500 plus people, individuals receiving salaried employment on the island. You know, that will also extend to some extent into the family unit that they are involved with. They will be £500 as an individual better off this year. If they're a couple, if they're a married couple, that would extend up to £1,000. So there is, you know, there are things that we have done that will soften and cushion some of the impacts of this. You know, we've only literally this week felt that impact. Many other countries, many other people, including our close neighbours, have been dealing with this for 3-4 weeks. And, you know, there is still a long way to go in terms of assessing and understanding what ultimately is going to be felt, both economically, but in terms of also the other impacts that we may feel from supplies and goods that may yet sort of reveal itself.
Chief Minister, I'm just going to jump in here because we're running a bit tight on time. You say no sort of support, clearly no guarantee of support for people. But with these price rises, people listening to us now could be really, really concerned. What would you say to people right now if they are concerned about these rises? As you say, this could go on for months and months, but people who are really concerned right now, what sort of assurance can you give at this moment?
Well, there'll be a great deal of concern across our community. You know, actually, you know, this is not as bad as it was in at this precise point as it was in 2022 and 2023 when the Ukraine war impacts were being felt. So I know it's been a shock. Absolutely, that means that there's going to be businesses adjusting their pricing. I know that's going to people are going to start to feel it in their pocket. But this is still very early days, Ben. You know, for all I know, this could get fundamentally worse. And we have to be have to recognize that the government must prepare potentially for longer term impacts, but we just don't know and understand those impacts. Coronavirus and COVID, for example, we could see across the community everybody was being asked to go home and lock down. You know, almost the impacts of that were clearer to us as a government. In this particular in this set of circumstances, absolutely, we can see the economic impacts. I know prices are rising, but also, you know, in some aspects of these price increases, we are being protected. I've talked about electricity. I've talked about gas. I've talked about the personal allowance increase. What I would say to people at the moment, this is still very early days. The government absolutely recognises the pressures that are being felt across the community. But we also have to recognise that this situation could go on for some considerable time, and that the government starting to make early decisions to make financial support decisions in isolated areas of our community will quickly extend more broadly across the piece, and that, you know, from a financial perspective we have to be responsible and therefore we have to take our time in terms of understanding specifically where those impacts are being felt, and how and if the government can do things that are both fair, equitable and appropriate in terms of utilising taxpayers' money to ensure that we get through this inverted commas crisis in a sensible way.
Well, you talk about protection. One thing you could do something about as government is the steam packet fuel surcharges, an increase from today. A number of people have been asking about this. You know, what discussion has been given to actually bringing those surcharges down? Because that could have a sort of huge impact on freight and then sort of, you know, food prices and that kind of thing.
So again, it has gone up. This is, again, not as high as it has been in 2022 and 2023. So clearly, there will be some impact felt in our community. I don't understand necessarily how those price points are going to be impacted.
If needs be, would you enforce a price drop on the steam packet surcharge?
Absolutely. You know, if this became clearly an ongoing matter where, again, we saw more increased surcharges coming through into the future, then the government could consider stepping in. I mean, it would cost £500,000 approximately with this current rise in the fuel charge if we effectively ask the steam packet not to implement it. Okay, so this all obviously costs money. That impacts in terms of forward planning. The steam packet are, as you know, forward planning for future boat purchases. We've got a solid financial business plan working with the steam packet at the moment. But also artificially, even if we remove that fuel surcharge, the government has no guarantees still that price points will not be impacted, you know, on the island. You know, we don't necessarily have control over absolutely everything.
Just I appreciate that.
But we don't necessarily have all those guarantees that suppliers are not raising their prices anyway. Yes, you could argue that it will lower the risk, but it doesn't necessarily mean absolutely that there will be a lower price point for goods arriving on the island.
Now, you mentioned that there is going to be a further update in April Timwell. That's just under 3 weeks from now. You've had these weekly meetings with the Economic and National Strategy Board. You've given updates the last couple of weeks in the House of Keys, but there aren't any sittings for the next couple of weeks. How are you going to keep the public informed?
So we're committed to meeting weekly, the Economic National Strategy Board. We will meet again next week. As you know, as you rightly pointed out, that is the Easter recess is now effectively come in. We have committed immediately on return for the Treasury Minister to update Tynwald and the wider community on the government position in terms of our assessment of the economic impacts that are taking place and what or if any specific financial actions are going to take place from a government perspective.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.